This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/filmsack and enter the code FILMSACK. This episode is also brought to you by Audible at audible.com. Audiobooks for your ear holes. We love audible.com, and you can get a free 30-day trial right now by going to audible.com/filmsack. That's audible.com/filmsack. For a free 30 days.
Dear Diary, Heather told me she teaches people real life. She said, real life sucks losers dry. If you want to f*** with the Eagles, you have to learn to fly.
I tilt my head to the side, I sound better. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 267. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, everyone is actually named Heather in this thing. Dunaway.
Scott's. Brian's. Yeah. Randy. Dear Angry Diary, today I bought a monocle. And by bought, I mean shoved down my pants like a Thanksgiving turkey in a Jane's Addiction video. Also, suck me gently with a shot back. This movie was very... part of my early 20s.
Yeah, that's something like that. Also with us, Randy, gently with a chainsaw, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. This week's film reminds me of the time I was a cop in a small town in the Midwest. True story. We couldn't figure anything out. I mean nothing. We couldn't have figured out who robbed the Tasty Freeze if we found a guy frozen right outside wearing a ski mask in July. We were more useless than nipples on dudes. We couldn't have stopped a crime streak if it was being perpetuated by actual streakers running around in the nude. I'm talking about cops who couldn't find the police station at the end of the day. Okay, I'll stop. Wait, these cops never stopped anybody. They were so stupid.
I thought they were kind of great.
They were awesome.
They are my favorite thing.
Mineral water.
Also,
does this answer your question?
Yeah. Also with us, Brian, fake hanging a bit.
Yes. Is this a movie about the plight of the American teenager as they strive to be popular? No. Is this a movie about school violence? No. Is this a movie about how the media glorifies suicide? No. It's a movie about how stupidly teenagers will sign petitions. Brought to you by Carnation Milk. It does a body good.
Yes, there was so much Carnation Milk.
There's a lot. Yeah, there was some serious brand placement in the movie Heathers. That's the movie we're talking
about. How weird that such a wholesome ideal, Carnation Milk, isn't such an unwholesome movie.
Well, listen, let's talk about that, all right? It's Heathers is the movie, everyone. And I don't have his clip yet, but I'm sure it'll show up, so I'm going to pretend we're inserting it here. Here's Scott Fletcher explaining more about Heathers. So here we go.
Heathers. Veronica Sawyers hates the girls in her popular clique. Enter mysterious newcomer JD, who offers her the perfect, albeit deadly, solution to end the Heather social tyranny in this cult favorite black comedy.
That's the thing in the market. Okay, and we're back.
The writer stars as...
Christian Slater does his best impression.
That an entire generation thinks is a cult classic, but really is not. All right, so here's the deal. With Heathers. Heathers is supposed to be the voice of a generation or something.
Yes.
Everyone has always told me, oh man, the cultiest, classicest thing from the 80s.
I never heard that.
I have heard that. It absolutely does not hold up because so much of it depends on... I'm sensing some disagreement in the audience. It focuses so much on the styles and the treatment and the look of high school. And if you strip out the three girls who are wearing something from the Melanie Griffith's Working Girl collection, then for the most part, it does look like high school. Like, it does look like.
They're about the only, the fact that they're all 25.
They're not obvious. 25.
Some of them are 35.
Yeah,
come on.
Some of them are gorilla.
Just one of them. One of them was 23.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about.
Oh, you mean the Heathers? I was just talking about all the high school people. Like,
oh, no. I think all the rest of the high school students were close to high school age.
Not those football guys, dude. No way.
Kurt and Ram, no.
Not Kurt and Ram.
No, and one of them was Matthew Laborito. Laborito? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think
it?
Labora something, yeah.
Who was like. He did the Anthony Michael Hall thing, right? Where he grew up playing these little nerdy kids then decided, screw this. I'm going to buff up like crazy.
Yep. And when you say crazy, woo.
Yeah.
He looked weird looking to me.
Like Matthew Laborito or Labiorto, or I really don't know how to pronounce it, but, grew up on Little House on the Prairie and was in Mulan and Deadly Friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. She was, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. Her eyes seemed less wrongly equidistant in this for some reason. Yeah. It's always a thing I've noticed with her. But anyway.
I'm not going to dig down to them again, but while watching the film, I pulled up IMDb and I'm like, that guy right there playing a high school student, and he's 31.
Yeah.
That was a thing in this movie.
It definitely was, but I think a lot of movies did that, so I can't even fault it at that.
What
I can
do it now.
What I can lay at its feet and say, what are you doing to me, is this. It's I think in 1988, maybe all of this seemed really out there and edgy.
This was John Hughes' blowback. I mean, we had this whole string of John Hughes, what coming of age was. And then we had the anti-culture of Heathers.
It's not like a backlash. It's a deconstruction. It's a perfect, like, that's the perfect term for it. It is a deconstruction of something that was common. So to go back to the original point, you don't have Heathers if you don't have The Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles and so forth.
I'm not even sure that that's true. I think we're assigning it too much intelligence. It's basically just like, here's a bunch of uppity girls playing croquet. They suck and they don't like anyone else in the school, and they've got their little clique going. And then for inexplicable reasons, there is a kid with a 44 Magnum in the school who fires it in people's faces with blanks in it.
It's not inexplicable. It's a reflection of this nihilistic attitude that this movie has, which that anything that happens in this world, and just like you're feeling in high school, it has no ramifications. Except
in the sense that there's karma. There's late. That's a trope, by the way. Laser-guided karma all over this thing.
And there's a thin veil between life and death in this movie. So, I mean, there's a lot of, it's very thin.
Oh, very thin. Man.
I just found it to be obnoxiously into itself.
Obnoxious is absolutely what it is.
It's one of the most narcissistic films I've ever seen. It's definitely cynical. And so it's right for you to be cynical about it, because it is cynical. Every message in the film is, right? So that's totally right. I'm just saying that there's no way that someone makes this movie in 1988 if not for the films that had preceded it and done well and been well regarded.
Maybe, mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, this is my first viewing of it. I don't know why I missed it, but and maybe I'd have felt differently.
It was very easy to miss it. This did horrible at the box office. It really only found favor, right? It really only found favor when it went to the video stores and also was playing in constant rotation on, on Showtime and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah.
Everyone telling me that it's this. This really is my generation, right?
It's really hard to explain why, because looking at it now, it to say that it doesn't hold up is a serious understatement. It's painful to watch.
I thought so too.
Everybody's. I enjoyed it.
You're a weirdo. Here's the thing. that movie is supposed to be about our age group, Brian Ibbett, me and you, the other two chuckleheads, a little younger than us.
We graduated the year after, or the year before this was released.
Correct. So, and most of my friends graduated in 88, so they would have been seniors the same time Ram was.
I forget how old you guys are.
I know, we're geezers. So,
And I saw this in the theaters.
Really?
Multiple.
Oh, tell us what that was like, Grandpa. Yeah.
I'm just saying that it wasn't like we saw this on video 10 years later. We saw this fresh out of high school.
Yeah. I saw this on video 2 days ago.
Yeah, this is the first viewing for you and Scott. Brian, you've seen this before, right?
Oh, me? Oh, yeah, I've seen it so many times. It's a perennial favorite for me. I watch this movie probably every couple of years.
And do you think it holds up? I mean, do you watch it and go, yeah, man, I see what you're laying down?
That's a really interesting question, because does it hold up? And when we think of does something hold up, it's kind of like upon it's because it's like, does it hold up to a new generation watching it for the first time? No. Does it hold up for nostalgia? Yes.
Let me lay some sheets on this bed, my friend. In 2006, this was Entertainment Weekly's number 5 best high school movies of all time.
Oh my gosh.
In 2008, Empire released the 500 greatest movies of all time, and this was number 412. They put it in the 500 greatest films of all time. I have a hard time believing it's in the 500 best films at 1988.
This to me is part of what I've been kind of going down a rabbit hole, because ever since I saw, I just happened to be watching Heathers this past week, and also I watched a video with George Lucas talking about how people, won't allow him to experiment in movies anymore.
Oh, right.
And to me, this Heathers was an experimental movie, and I feel like it has its place. And I think that it is, to be an important movie, I think you have to influence things that come after you and be in the public conscious and be able to survive. And I think Heathers has done just that, all the way down to this TV series that we're watching now, Scream Queens, that is heavily influenced by this. Also, there's a musical coming out of Heathers. So I think it is very, I think it's still very relevant. The movie
I don't know what else is. So what else has it? Okay. So I can kind of see hints of like Mean Girls, or I can see hints of, that kind of thing.
Okay. So later, there's movies like Mean Girls that draw on Heathers.
Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You. And
sure.
No doubt. Right. And by the way, the musical has been around for 5 years.
Yeah. It's been
For a while. They're rebooting. Now Vancouver's getting their own little, their own little musical. Yeah.
Thank goodness. Vancouver's been, if there's one thing they're missing, it's a
right,
Heathers
some
musical.
Heathers. Yeah. Some high school violence. So the question is, the thing is though, how many times do you think during this movie did you get distracted because you kept thinking you couldn't make this movie today?
I was mostly distracted. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't feel that way at all. I felt like you could make this. You could make stupid crap like this today.
You could make a movie about school violence?
Yeah, sure, a kid bringing a gun to school and joking about suicide and stuff like that.
You could. It would be very indie. It wouldn't be mainstream at all, and it wouldn't be.
That's the thing. We have films that come up like this, but they're totally different post-Columbine.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Napoleon Dynamite. Post-Columbine, it's all about a lot of the same cynical dark comedy stuff without the guns and the killing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to go too far trying to compare Heathers to Napoleon Dynamite, but
right.
I'm just saying every time a new generation comes along, they have their own fears and their own things that they are going to be offended by. So these kind of comedies lose those things, but they still exist. Yeah. They're still dark.
If Napoleon would have had to give up his tater tots to that stupid kid in class, he would have whipped out a gun and shot him.
Would you guys like to know the 4 films, by the way, that beat it in Entertainment Weekly's?
No way. Seriously?
Yes, I would. Okay. I would love to hear.
Yeah. The Breakfast Club.
Easy.
Yes,
appropriate.
Good.
That is number 1.
Okay.
Number 2, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Okay. Very appropriate again.
Okay.
Number 2.
Cameron Crowe.
Okay.
Yep. Number 3, it's taking a second to load. Dazed and Confused.
Oh, nice.
Because this is 1988.
Oh, interesting. Internet. Yeah, boy, these are all clustering together, aren't they? Yeah.
Right. But the last one is Rebel Without a Cause from 1955, the James Dean classic.
That's
lower,
a pretty solid top 5.
Dude. Give us lower than
it's
the
It's a
five.
Solid top 4. I don't think this belongs in the 5th spot.
It doesn't. That's what I was getting
I
at.
Because
then
does.
When you get below that, doesn't. You get stuff like American Graffiti, Clueless, 16 Candles,
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller. None of these can hold. I mean, all of the, what's the word I'm, or the way I want to phrase this? Heathers can't hold a candle to any of these.
I would agree. And here's the thing. Election is a very cynical, very narcissistic thing.
Yes, like, that is a great
movie. And it's
movie,
a great movie. That's a really, really great movie. Yeah. Here's the thing about Heathers, though. Heathers is nothing about school and nothing about the reality of it. None of it. None of it's anything to do with anything. These women, these girls, I say women because they were older than high school kids, walking around with their shoulder pads.
Everybody else was
whatever. They're all walking around in their shoulder pad looking stupid outfits, talking like they're running some sort of fashion business.
Right, fashion and polling business.
But that's true. That's true of what was going on, though.
No, I was in high school then.
Okay, I think we all have very different experiences.
I'm both of my siblings are older than me. I observed their classmates. I'm here to tell you this was not that far off from a pretty standard Midwestern fashion show at high school. That was
I don't mean that. Yeah, of course it was. Everybody fashioned up. I don't mean that. I'm saying there is zero interaction with teachers except one that said, "Where did Heather go?" I mean, that was basically the extent of the teacher involvement. That principal in that room where they all sat around yelling at the hippie.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Now that was one thing that I did go, okay, this is definitely a perspective from students at the time because I was a little bit of a teacher's pet. So I've been to the teacher's office area and it looks nothing like that.
This is the perspective of the out of touch white dude who wrote the film. Let's face it, I said this out loud in the first 5 minutes of this movie. I'm watching young girls talking to each other and I'm like, oh no, some dude wrote this. This so far away from how girls actually ever talked in any setting.
Mm-hmm. I think it's part of what people like about the movie because the writing is written, it's discordant. The writing doesn't jive with reality. And so when you hear a couple of girls talking to each other the way they do, it isn't typical mean girl, rich girl talk. There's something else there.
You kind of have to appreciate it for preserving some lingo. It 30 years on, some of the lingo was really bothering me. I'm like, oh, they shoehorned that in, you know, but then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, oh, but I guess I wouldn't hear this anywhere else ever again, you know? So props to them for putting in all the lingo that they could possibly think of.
I think the banter in this movie is so memorable because you can remember so many of these lines. I mean, there's so many quotable lines in this movie. It's true.
There are two that are very dark. When I get to those, we'll talk about the background of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but like the whole you are so very.
Yeah, that's tough.
Well, everything was extreme during that time. And I remember everything being extreme. So very.
No one ever once in high school, ever in any other film I've seen or real life that I lived in, ever walked up to me and said, "You are so very." That never happened once.
No, I never heard it anywhere outside of this film.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah,
it didn't happen. I'm sorry.
I defy
anyone else before this movie to tell me that that's what they were saying. They may have after if they were influenced by it.
Right.
But nobody said it before that. I freaking stake my life on it.
I'm sitting here trying really, really hard to think of one quote that was memorable from the film for me before
Screw
we played quotes.
With a chainsaw. Come on.
That didn't stick with me. The one thing that stuck with me was the worst line in the film. And I mean, it is absolutely the worst line in the film. I don't know what it's doing in the movie, which is Kurt's dad at his funeral, standing over the casket, yelling, "I love my dead gay son.
Yeah.
Come on.
People love that. People love that line from, I mean, that was quoted all over the place on IMDb because people really, for whatever reason, they think that was a great moment in that movie.
It's not intended to be. It's got that line in the script has the worst intentions. Mm. It's supposed to make the person delivering the line, the character look really dumb and really stupid.
Well, it is a fairly homophobic movie. It is ever so slightly.
But you got to admit that the parental relationships in every case of each one of these kids, the parental relationships is part of one of the things we saw during the 80s, which we had very understanding parents. I think that was really the first generation of just super understanding parents by majority.
But they're always portrayed as so stupid, though.
They are, yeah. Everybody's an idiot.
But Yeah. That's because we thought they were stupid.
Well, every kid thinks their parents are out of it. Most kids.
Right.
And so, and I did. I thought my parents had no idea what I was doing. And there's a very good chance they absolutely did know. But I just had this perception. Like, once in a while, my kids will come around with a friend. Like, Nick will bring home a friend from school. And the kid won't look me in the eye. This, you know, his friend. Mm-hmm. He won't have conversation.
Because you're 6'4 or something. What do you-
well, that's part of it. But you know, but also, I can always tell when they think they're under the radar.
Right. They think they're living in a world that you're not even in.
Yeah, they're operating in a place that's like Ferris Bueller's parents. And he's Ferris Bueller, and we have no idea what he's doing. And I hate freaking as a parent.
By the way, I mean, this goes back to the beginning of FilmSack. We've been doing this for 6 years now, and I've been saying from the beginning that this trope of parents are so stupid, adults are so stupid, is in every movie that has people who aren't adults. If you write a script for a film that's about teenagers or younger, you have to somehow eradicate the brains of all the adults. Mm-hmm. And I still don't understand how there aren't films that oppose that trope. That trope is just solid. It's in everything.
I think parents aren't stupid in movies where, you know, it's not seen from the kids. I mean, you see all kinds of movies that the parents are smart. But as long as you're going to be from a perspective of kids, all kids think their parents are stupid.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Like in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, the first thing they do is kill the parents. No, like they just kill them right off.
Well, they were his uncle and his aunt.
But that's
yes.
the thing. Whatever. It's supposed to be from this upcoming generation coming of age. I mean, of course they're stupid. They're supposed to be.
But I'm just saying from a script writing point of view, I would love to know. I would love to know what is the big deal with having parents be aware.
Well,
and
how could you come of age if your parent was wise?
I
well,
did.
You wouldn't.
My parents
you wouldn't,
were wise.
Yes, but here's, right, but I'm gonna side with Dunaway on this because there is a thing. It's an adolescent thing. It's a thing. Kids need to find independence, to strike right. out on their own, to experiment and figure out life and make mistakes and all that. They have to at some point, at some level, and some look at it as, you know, some have full on rebellion. And then some just do, you know, well, I hate you, Dad, and then do that once and they never do it again. But whatever it is.
They got especially beat. If they say it like that.
But wait, I hate you, Dad, then run.
That just sounded stupid.
I hate you, Dad. I'm running to my room.
By the way, please don't email me and tell me about all the films where adult-child relations are normalized. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about films where we're trying to be amused or highly entertained. This kind of thing, it's a strange fact that we can't get the equal perspectives. It's not going to be funny.
I think it's just going to, yeah, it's going to come down to writing. I think if you wrote something, I think if you sat down and tried to write something, you would see possibly why that is the reason. I mean, if you actually wrote something that tried to write your own screenplay, I think you would definitely
yeah.
see. I think
yeah,
you would definitely see
that
it's the, right, I think you would definitely see and go, oh, well, the reason why is because, you know, this kid needs to be able to develop as a character, and he can't develop as a character as long as his parents are, you know, smart and wise and guiding him. He'll just be a clone.
Yeah, it's like are you going to make a zombie apocalypse TV show or movie where people are all getting along and banding together right. to build a nice new society and wall off the zombies? No, you're going to have them backbiting and being dicks and shooting each other because... Because that's your movie. Because there's your entertainment.
It's more entertainment, yeah.
And that's why I think that's why the trope exists. I don't think it's as usual. I don't think, you know, Hollywood or films reflect much reality anyway.
Oh
my
no,
favorite,
this
my favorite
not-
trope about teenagers and kids is that there's always only this one band of them in the world. Like that's right, the weird thing to me. I want to see a movie just once where the Heathers and Veronica and JD here are all doing their thing, and this other whole band of kids in their high school of thousands comes along right. and thwarts their plans just out right, of nowhere. Right. You know?
That would be great. And I love that. And I think that's been portrayed before in Lost.
There's
the series.
You know, the movie Shaun of the Dead has the band of all the people in the film come across another band of the exact same people, like mirror images of themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah. I love that.
Like
that's
this movie.
Fun.
Oh, this movie really keyed on that trope of we're the only people in the universe. You know, and adults aren't anything. Cops aren't anything.
Right.
I couldn't believe that Winona Ryder was only 15 in this movie.
It's amazing.
What? What? Really? She was only 15? Wow.
She was Christian Slater was 2 years older than her when they made this film. how is she such a better actor than him? Like, that much of a better actor.
Oh,
she?
I don't
she's
know.
She's a better actor.
I don't know. I don't want to be the unpopular guy here, but I'm going to reverse that. And I know it's a Jack Nicholson impression pretty much the entire time, but I still preferred it over her performance. She was
it's not
terrible.
Even a good impression.
Well, he even admitted to it. Check this out. Where is it? Did I write it down? Christian Slater. Here it is. Christian Slater has stated publicly that his performance was heavily inspired by Jack Nicholson. He claims that he wrote a letter to Nicholson asking him to watch the film, but never got an answer back.
Yeah.
That thing was very Jack.
Christian Slater knows that he's in a teenage slasher film, right?
Right.
He, of course, is going to look to the scariest movies of all time to try to figure out what, you know, these characters talk and sound like. The Shining comes up. It is absolutely one of the scariest movies of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think that he even comes close to good
acting. No, I wouldn't
call
this a slasher either, though. It was just like, I mean, who got slashed? Nobody, really.
Well, not
are you good with the slashing? It's the slashing with the slashing?
Well, a slasher movie's being, I mean, what's the epitome of a slasher movie? Friday the 13th or the Freddy Krueger movie.
It's going to be knives.
And gory ways.
Yeah. And this
You could have a slasher movie with guns.
Sure you could, but he didn't, but none of that was going on. It was just like,
the body count in this movie is impressive. It includes things like simulated hanging, a gunshot to the neck.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I'm just saying, like, Christian Slater is 16 or 17. He's in this movie. He's looking around for inspiration. He knows that he's playing a character with a dark twist in it. You know, what is he looking to? He's going to look to something like The Shining. And it just sad to me how bad he is. I disagree with you that he does anything ever good.
Well, I don't think he's good. Let's not get me wrong here. I don't think Christian Slater's that great, nor has he ever been great. I think that she's just bad in this too, right. And she's bad enough.
I think he's been great in a few things since. Like, I think he was fantastic in Mr. Robot. Yeah. I think he was okay in stuff like Broken Arrow, where he had to basically just do that type of role. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any other character in him than this whispery thing in his throat thing, and that it's
a little sarcastic and a little jaded.
Yeah, why in the world they're using him as a voice actor in Archer is just beyond me.
Oh, really?
Because it just sounds like Christian Slater, because the character's name is Slater. But it sounds like Christian Slater.
He's Michael Cera. He's a million guys who just do the one thing they do.
Justin Long.
Yeah, and it's fine.
Jonah
you know,
Hill.
This kind of goes back to why are there older people in this movie portraying high school students? Because at 15, there's very few actors who can portray a 15-year-old because they're
listen
just,
to
they
what you
matured.
Just said. Listen to what you just said. All he has to do is be himself, just be a teenager. That's all he has to do. And then the twist is totally sold. I would have never seen it coming that his whole job as a person was to kill everybody. If he had just been a normal teenager, but he tries to look like he has this dark brooding behind his eyes, you know, and he doesn't pull it off. And
my dad doesn't respect me, and he's too focused on this.
Whatever, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Oh, God, yeah. Hey, you kids, keep it down in here, Bob.
That brings up a good question about the dad. Was he was some kind of serial murderer, right? Because he was blowing people up in buildings. Okay,
that was the idea. He killed Kristen Slater's mom because she went into the building. And I mean, it was this. You definitely
Kristen Slater's mom committed suicide
by going into the building. Yeah. This was part of this movie's way of going. There's not necessarily anybody who is pure evil. They are either influenced or, you know, everybody's got a bad backstory.
That's a conceit that I will not give this film. It does not get to say there's no one who's pure evil or whatever. Like, you're supposed to. You're supposed to totally set aside all of your preconceptions and enjoy the dark comedy. But I can't stand that. These kids are killing people.
Nobody's likable in the entire film. Name a likable character. Nobody.
Right. They're not
Veronica's. Likable.
She's supposed to be.
I didn't find her likable.
Find her likable?
No.
No, she's killing people.
Well, not just that. Even when she's killing people, not knowing when he faked her out thinking those guns were just going to pierce the skin and cause bleeding.
Well, here's the thing, though. The first Heather that dies, she, you know, without seeing the blue crap on Heather Chandler's lips, she says, "Oh my God, we killed her." Like, instead of thinking, "Oh my God, this milk and orange juice concoction that I made knocked her out," or something like that, or made her or crash.
911.
Right, exactly.
How about that reaction?
Yeah, no, she.
By the way,
she does. I will concede that she does know what she's doing.
Yeah.
Right. Right. By the way, the upchuck factor of milk and orange juice is not as high as you might think, because really, I know. Right. And it really is, you know, that's basically the idea behind the creamsicles with the orange cream. Yeah. I mean,
listen, how many commercials have you seen with part of the nutritious breakfast with a big thing of milk and a big thing of orange juice?
Yeah.
It's bullshit. The whole thing was bullshit.
Trust me, get your blender out later today, put some milk and some orange juice in it, and blend that sucker for a while until it gets really nice and creamy. That's delicious. There's nothing. The upchuck factor was the sound. That sound was going to end my life. I really had to turn off the sound.
Yeah.
I do have to argue there was at least one likable character, and that's Dennis. Dennis was very likable.
Wait, who's Dennis? The nerd?
The nerd, Phil Lewis, who went on to play Zack and Cody's guy, on the hotel.
He's the one who calculates out the money, you know, the taxes and stuff on the $2 million he gets before aliens blow up the world.
No, yeah. I don't think that was. I think it was another actor.
But those guys, the entire group of nerds. Yes, they were kind of likable. But
yeah, even like the dump truck is
even the girl they were picking on that tried to walk into traffic and then was in the wheelchair.
Well, no.
Likeable.
Charlie Sheen's sister was likable. Betty.
Yeah.
Wait, Betty.
Yeah.
Who's Betty? Veronica's friend Betty.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't realize it until afterwards. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. She was all right. Wait a minute. Yeah. She's related to who?
She's Charlie Sheen's sister. She's Renee Estevez.
Really?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Weird. How'd she turn out? She good? She all right?
She seems to be fine. Okay. She doesn't go eat at Charlie Sheen's house.
No. Don't eat at Charlie's house. We're having Thanksgiving at Charlie's. Oh,
don't
shit.
Use the bathroom at Charlie Sheen's.
She was in the West Wing, man. She's great.
No, I like her. She was okay. All right, there you go then. She was likable. I guess what I was hoping for, like even Lindsay Lohan's character in Mean Girls, at least there's a goodness to her. Everyone in this just sucks. They just all suck.
But I think that's reflective of how the dialogue actually goes on in the movie. They say, you know, I don't like anybody. I don't like these high school students. I don't like these other people. I don't like my friends. We're just here to do a job. We're here to get through high school.
Just to get through it, right. And I understand how big high school seems when you're in it. I understand how it seems like its own ecosystem and all that stuff. I understand all that. But why are you wearing a monocle? What's with the monocle?
Yes. And why are you writing in your diary so freaking huge? How many diaries do you go through a week?
You have just reminded me of the problem I had with the film. Because I really don't want to sound like I'm just ragging on it for every reason. There is one reason in particular, and that is it took me an hour into this movie to stop seeing all of these back and forth diary cuts and these overwashed shots as sometimes being dream sequences. I kept thinking at the, especially at the beginning, okay.
Right, when they're hitting her with the croquet balls. Yeah.
Right. And I'm going back and forth. I'm like, okay, so is this real? Now, is the scene I'm watching at this instant real, or is it an imaginary thing that I'm about to find out isn't real?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I despised that because it never pays off. It turns out it's just badly directed. It's badly edited.
Did Shannon deodorant? Did she have so she never got killed? She never died.
No, and the that whole was Eskimo not thing was
that wasn't
was a
clear
dream sequence.
That wasn't clear because when he went in there to finish the job with the knife, that was all very realistically portrayed. And then slammed the door, and she's like, "No, don't do it." And then they flashed to the funeral, which was clearly a dream from the second it started.
Right.
So when they showed her again in the crowd at school at the pep rally, I went, "Wait a minute."
At the end when Veronica takes the scrunchie away and puts it in her own hair.
Well, yeah, by then I'd figured it out. But when I saw her at the pep rally before the explosion, that's the first we'd seen her since the fake funeral. And I went, wait a minute, I thought she died. I know the funeral was a dream, but there was still a funeral, probably.
Right.
Because it was never clear to me that it was a dream that he went there with the knife while she was sleeping. That was never clear to me that was a dream. like at all, because they fake it. It's not, they didn't earn it, because the other, because if you're going to be all dreamy like the second one where everyone's dressed weird and the lighting's funny,
Scott needs a whole scene, transition scene that goes.
So do I. That's right. If you're going to go, if you're going to go over the top with the funeral, you have to go over the top with the murder as well.
Yeah.
And other, the whole, otherwise, like, you're just like, the handwriting of life sucks. And,
right.
By the way, okay, likable character, the preacher guy that does all the funerals.
Oh, he's great.
Oh yeah, from Beetlejuice.
Who also worked with Winona and Beetlejuice. Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
he's great. I captured a couple of funny things.
What was it? What he said
about how life can really suck.
Right. The MTV video games are corrupting all of our children.
Right.
I can't even name all the Glenn Shaddix films we've now seen on FilmSack, but Demolition Man and Beetlejuice come to mind.
Yeah. He's since passed away, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Back in, 2001 or so? Yeah. Had a couple of people pass away from this movie. Most notably, probably the Kim Walker.
The main Heather. Her death... I'm not conspiratorial. Like, when people say things in a movie and then later, like, something ironic happens in their real life that seems tied to that one iconic role they had, I usually just you chalk that up to just coincidence, whatever. But there's a couple of real haunting ones in this one. Two of them, very specifically.
Glenn Shaddix was in perfectly good health when he fell. Mm-hmm. He just had a fall, and he died striking his head on the floor.
Wow.
You know what? Now, actually, at this stage of where we're at, I'm going to play these two bits because they are kind of dark.
We're going to get two bits.
I'm going to play
two bits.
Two bits. Two bits. What's that? Something and a haircut. Shaving a haircut.
Shaving a haircut.
There you go. All right. Here's the... Okay, so the guy, they have this scene that was actually kind of funny where... Everybody had to go up and do a little silent prayer next to the body of Heather One.
I'm sorry, it was funny.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Monologue.
And monologue, yeah. They were hearing stuff in their own head. Well, this actor, and I didn't write his name down, but the actor who played one of the kids said this when he did his little quiet thing.
Dear God, please make sure this never happens to me, because I don't think I can handle suicide.
And then that same guy... like 4 or 5 years later, committed suicide with a gun.
Yeah, he did.
Shot himself in the head. So that's dark and awful, right?
Right.
Then you got this, the girl, the main Heather, who died at age 32 or something. She said this in the movie.
Did you have a brain tumor for breakfast?
She died of a brain tumor like 5-6 years later.
Yeah.
Boy, you gotta hate it when something like that in a movie happens, and then your life has a thing that, you know.
Yeah. Right, because that's all that I remember is life.
Yeah, kind of thing, so those things, those were dark moments for me, because I'd read the trivia and went, oh my gosh.
For sure.
You really said that in this film? They had you talk about suicide, and then you did a suicide? I don't know.
By the way, are you amazed that there isn't more, speaking of conspiracies, more theories out there that Christian Slater's character doesn't exist and it's just a manifestation of Winona Ryder's character?
That was part of the dreamy editing of the film. The sort of, I don't know if this scene is in reality, led me to question a lot of characters and plot lines in this film as being imaginary.
Yeah. I think the reason why as well, because if you go, I've read part of the original screenplay, which was going to be very long, like 3 hours. And the original idea was that that character was going to be the Antichrist. So the feeling that you're getting that he doesn't really exist and that there's this thin veil between life and death and dream, that's part of the original design.
Well, here's the thing, though. If he hadn't had his altercation with Bam and Zippy or whatever the two football guys were.
Ram and Kurt.
If they hadn't had that fight, I would totally subscribe to this idea, because it was the only grounding moment. Everything else could have been, you know, Bruce Willis away. You could have said, oh, he never really actually spoke to the dad, and the dad never really responded to him, or he had...
Because, I mean, even one of the suicide notes is Winona Ryder writing it, guided by his hand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which is very... It was like Tyler Durden business. It was like Fight Club. Yeah, very much so. There are just a few scenes where when he altercates with those dudes, then you're like, oh, all right, well...
That's how you make this movie better.
Yeah, actually, because
you Tyler Durdenize James Dean or whatever, Jason Dean,
JD.
It is a little better. It's a little better if you do that. Now that you mention it,
weird, because he does have some supernatural access to stuff. The film, like, you know, like the
he magically appears in the chatty chip shop or whatever it's called, the snacky barn. Or
remember when she goes out cow tipping and he appears on an apparently silenced motorcycle.
Right. True story.
And the chatty chip shop? Hold on a minute.
Okay. Yeah, the convenience store where you can turbo dog a beef wiener or whatever.
Yeah, that's what she said. Turbo dog beef wiener.
Where you can nosh on a jumbo turbo dog.
There was some serious Pauly Shore moments there for the second of the convenience store. Yeah.
Okay, I remember now. Yeah. The chippy chip. But anyway.
And what is the cow tipping scene doing in the film? I want to know.
For weirdness, I think, but mostly you don't want to miss that scene because this is where you also can get that empathy for characters. Like even Heathers are part of a bigger ecosystem, and they're just part of what of all this evil, because one of them's getting raped in the background while there's this discussion going on, and it's downplayed very much.
Go watch the movie, start a minute before that scene, and then watch through that scene and tell me that when Christian Slater appears, you don't wonder if it's a dream sequence. So freaking weird. He appears on a motorcycle that she didn't hear coming.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm starting to wonder, like for real, like the way that a lot more scenes make sense if I make the assumption that this is her inner demon that she's talking about.
How did you not get this feeling the first time?
I didn't at all.
Manifestation to commit all these murders of the people she hates.
Yeah.
So that she doesn't have blame in herself.
Yeah. And then the bomb stuff at the end is, makes much more sense that she'd go down there and have a fight with herself about it. Because what's his motivation? Blowing up the school? Well, not really, because he goes outside and blows himself up based on what?
Nothing. Right.
Nothing.
Just end the film. It's a film ending trope.
It was, but he also so if his intention was to destroy the entire school full of students, right? He wants to just murder everybody. Well, then he gets foiled in that. He gets shot. He's to the point where he's near dead himself, so he thinks, you know what I'll do? I'm going to take this thing off. I'm going to fix it because already it's broken because there's a freaking knife in it somehow. That somehow breaks dynamite. I'm going to...
Knife in the top,
I'm going to come all the way out here and in an act of admitting that Winona Ryder's right and the only real thing to hate is self or whatever his stupid meaning was, and then blowing himself up.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense unless it's all in her. And
unless you're making a movie and you really want to then have a shot of everybody inside hearing the explosion outside and have them react. Like, that's the only purpose of it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced now.
you just put your finger on why this is a cult classic. Because there is so open to interpretation.
Mm. I don't know. I didn't think about it until Libet brought it up, though. Like, it didn't even occur to me until you said that.
If they heard the explosion came out and they just saw Winona Ryder, sitting there talking about, no, it was Jason Dean blew him up. We never had a student named Jason Dean.
Right? Yeah. There was never a Jason.
And by the way, they come out and see Winona Ryder looking like the Banshee Queen. What in the world?
Yeah, that is the thing, is that there's no resolution to that to her character. She ends the film without any sort of repercussions of guilt or criminal repercussions for committing two or three murders.
Nope. She's just buddies with the lady on the scooter now.
Exactly. Yeah.
With a big ass cigarette.
They're gonna go watch some movies.
Yep.
And charcoal all over her face and cotton candy hair.
Right. Yeah. That is the trope of being near an explosion in cartoons that they.
I thought she was Wile E. Coyote. She finished the film having killed the Roadrunner.
Super genius, you expect me to say at the end.
I did think at the very end when Martha Dump Truck was riding her little scooter around went on a rider, and they were talking about, let's rent some new releases, pop some popcorn, and I was thinking, man, I miss those days of Blockbuster when you would go to the new release wall and you'd pick out a new release and you'd go home with your friends and you'd watch a movie. We just don't have that anymore. You know, so this is kind of what film sack is.
There's a whole row in Netflix called New Releases.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
Our kids in 20 years are going to be talking about how they miss Netflix. They are.
Yeah, true story.
Look, here's the deal. When you I know what Brian's talking about, because that thing, that took effort. You had to get in your car. You had to go to the Blockbuster. Yeah. You had to see that wall.
You had to fight other people. Limited quantities.
You had to hope that, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. When
it was weird. It was weird.
And they're going to be saying in 20 years, you had to log into the PlayStation, and you had to turn on the television.
And then you know what happened? Mother Humpers would expire a movie that I wanted to watch.
Yeah, that's right. You thought you were going to see whatever movie that always gets lost for us? What's a movie we always want to see and always gets yanked? There's always one. Anyway, I can't think of it.
Dead Zone.
I can't remember.
Armageddon.
Armageddon. Always gets yanked right before we're ready to record, and that's just the way life is. And our grandkids will go, "What are you talking about, Grandpa? You're weird. You smell funny." And that'll be the end of it. The name, I have some just a tiny piece of trivia here for you. The name Heather is said 90 times through the film. So there you go.
Surprise.
If you're wondering about that.
And Scott Johnson, are you with me that you actually thought the name of the film, until you saw it, you thought the name of the film was Possessive?
Yeah, I did.
It was about a place called Heather's?
I did. I thought it was, before I saw the movie, because again, my first viewing, I thought Heather's was like a club they hung out at or a restaurant somebody went to.
Down at the Heather's.
Yeah. Or just somebody's house.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Why? Because the logo, the thing, I think the logo on the movie poster is like a neon sign.
Oh, that maybe that's like, why.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and it also hurts the film, in my opinion, that I've heard the name Heather's all my life, and it turns out to be a plural of some people's names, and then they really aren't principals in the film at all.
Nope.
Like, it would have really helped the movie for me if the Heather's had been meaningful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also,
that's the movie Randy wants to watch.
Whatever happened, we didn't get closure. Right. Chick in the Bucket, by the way, this week. We have a sound for that? We do. Chick in the Bucket is the cheerleader Heather. Just
all Heather.
That was it.
She
was
the best looking of the three Heathers.
Yeah, the Heather that I kind of liked the most.
She was the 23-year-old.
Oh, was she older? Okay.
Was she?
That's the reason why you found her attractive and not the 15-year-old when I'm a writer.
Closure is that she calls the love line and
yeah, she quits. She basically quits.
Exactly. She says, I don't want to be a Heather anymore, and she's out.
And it. This is the premise that they're all named Heather. They're all named Heather and they're playing croquet. Come on.
Yeah. And what were they doing? How did they do croquet before Winona Ryder was part of the group? Because that's all at Winona Ryder's house.
That's right. That's how she gets
right.
Into
before
the
she came along, they played polo.
Yeah. The croquet house, they call it. By the way, this guy is famous for some other stuff. He wrote, the guy who directed and wrote this. Or no, he didn't direct and write, just the writer. The screenwriter for this wrote Batman Returns, Hudson Hawk. So there you go, Ibbit.
Another favorite on here on Film Sack.
Demolition Man and the Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Oh, really? Wow.
I just like to mention that all of those, except for Batman Returns, we have seen on Film Sack. So.
Wow, and Batman Returns is just a matter of time, right?
Oh, yeah. It's actually on our upcoming list.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me really quickly stave off some emails that we're going to get. Patrick Laborto, and I found a pronunciation. Played whoever, Kurt or Ram, I can't remember. He's the brother of Matthew Laborto, so
okay.
not the same guy. Oh, okay, but they're related.
They're brothers.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting. Okay.
We wouldn't have gotten emails on that.
Email? I was about to say.
We wouldn't have gotten emails on that because you didn't misstate a popular term used by gun enthusiasts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we didn't say anything about, what is it? What was the thing? Tack guns or I don't know what the hell it was.
Nail drivers.
Nail drivers.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, Patrick Laborto played the same character on JAG, Yes, Dear, and NCIS.
Oh, wait. They moved him around like
an Ed Asner, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
You know what, Scott? We should do a Nukes podcast series called Correct Us, where all we do is say things wrong and people write us.
Oh, that sounds like every show I do. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, what a weird deal. I don't know what to think about it. It seems dumb, this movie, in retrospect. I cannot look back on it, except with I kind of like this twist of the he was never there idea, but I don't think that's what they meant to do, or if they did mean to do it, they ruined it by anchoring it with a fight with Kurt and Ram.
Yeah.
So
I'd just like to say, you actually improved the film tenfold for me.
Yeah,
because I was sitting there thinking, you know, they just didn't know how to make this movie look right and come together right, and that's why I had this whole imaginary dream sequences problem.
Yeah.
No. There's actually a purpose to it. It feels great.
I like the idea that she's kind of she would be that level of kind of nuts and crazy that it would go that far, but there's no payoff for that. So I don't think that's what they meant to do, but I will go ahead and have that in my head, and that'll make the film better for me.
I can't understand why it worked so well back in 1988, but boy, it sure does not work now.
It has to be that you had you were still fresh off of seeing films like this, and not seeing films like Napoleon Dynamite and Mean Girls and so
on. Right. Yeah, they have done it. That's true. They've done it so much better, obviously, since this movie. And that's probably why this movie doesn't hold up.
Yeah. Also, why can we stop? Seriously, I know we've asked this for decades, but can we stop putting timers on bombs? Just blow it up.
Well, no, it has to have a timer because, you know, you have to know, you know, even in real life, you have to know how far you need to get or how much time you have to get a safe distance.
Okay. Did he know he had a seven minute timer on the one, and then he had a pre-programmed simple button for when he's out in the courtyard to make it 45 seconds. Like, that's kind of stuff.
He did. He had like three buttons.
So I disagree with you, Brian. We're recording this episode 9 days after the Friday the 13th attacks in Paris. There were seven terrorists all wearing suicide vest bombs. They were wearing bombs, and they had no timers. Nothing. You know, they're very
sophisticated. Well, they could trigger them manually, right? Grim as this is, but
that's the point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's true. I mean, the bombs that Christian Slater sets are all remote detonation anyway. So all the ones in the bleachers anyway.
Yeah. And why have the big fat? It's not even the time. Like, why not a little LED? Why a giant freaking like a sign like we're open or we're closed kind of signs? To have
how expensive those small ones were. Radio Shack only had that size.
We should call it the Acme bomb trope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it really is.
It exists.
We've dealt with a lot of bombs the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, which kind of is weird. And also no more monocles in your teen movies.
Yeah. And that's, by the way, that's another thing. The news has been really grim lately. And so watching this film, it was hard to not think about like the realities of it.
Yeah.
I had a really hard time letting go of, these are cold-blooded killers. Well, yeah. Somebody needs to stop them.
Yeah, it becomes
the reason why we didn't have as much sympathy as opposed to maybe during the late 80s.
You're right. I think you're probably right. There's something very hollow about it. Because of that, in light of that, right. It's like seeing very cartoonish Middle Eastern terrorist types in the leading up to 2000. Yeah, like those, like the what were they? Libyans? What were they?
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Libyans. Right? Yeah. Back to the Future.
You
yeah.
see those guys, and you're just like, yeah, those don't really exist. They're just kind of a goofy whatever.
It's a made up.
They don't hit anything with bullets. They just miss everything. It's all made up. You kind of feel that way when you're younger, and then something real happens, and then you're like, oh, all of that, like the '94 True Lies bad
right,
guy.
Right,
that
right,
guy was just
right.
a big cartoon character. He may as well be Yosemite Sam compared to real terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But at the time, it was like, oh yeah, he's got all these bombs and weapons and stuff, and he's all pissed right. or whatever.
He's Middle Eastern. He's got to be horrible.
Yeah, and then we see an actual thing happen, and we're like, oh man, all that stuff seems really dumb now.
Yeah,
and I think that's this movie maybe suffers a little from that. I think that's a good point.
I always ask this, like every 5 or 10 years, I ask who are going to be the next stereotypical terrorists in movies. Mm. You know, we've gone through a lot of different iterations. I mean, we've even had a period of time where the stereotypical bad guys in films were Asian triads.
Yeah.
Like, who's next?
Who's next? You know? Here's what you do. It all recycles itself because you go a bunch of Middle Eastern stuff and you get away from that and you move to North Korean guys.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
and then
That's,
you're
North
now
Korean's
we're cycling
right now.
And now mm-hmm. we're cycling back to, well, Russia's a shadow of its former self, but that just means more underground.
I look forward
terrorism.
To the return of the Cold War Russian villains. I hate that the Cold War may resume here in real world, but I really miss the Cold War movie Russian.
Well, I like the Cold War because it wasn't a warm war.
I'm here to tell you the
good cold good right. ice cold war.
Right. The foundation of the Cold War was proxy wars all over the world, and we've currently got Russians, Americans, and now Chinese in Syria. Yeah. This is a definite Cold War we've got going on. I say that because I'm reading the news every day, and I watch this movie, and I mean they're terrorists. It's a movie about teenage terrorists.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And we have, you know, shootings and bombings and stuff domestically that happen in schools and stuff. It just made this seem like a piece of paper to me. It just felt fake. And you know, there was a time in those years where you just had no idea. Like the Cold War had a way in the 80s, had a way of masking itself and having you just feel like, ooh, it's just we all have enough bombs that we're keeping everyone stalemated. So nobody will push the red buttons. And that's what you kind of perceived it as. And you never really thought about what's happening on the ground in places you couldn't see. And news coverage wasn't what it is today. And despite the fact that just about every statistic is actually better, it doesn't matter. We're still telling each other stories that make us all want to run and hide. And movies like this just feel flimsy in that light.
It's really, really flimsy.
Yeah.
Like I said in my opening, if just one cop had come along, and by the way, why did the movie have to even put cops in? That ruined it for me, because I kept thinking, oh, they're getting away with all this just because they're doing it in secret.
Escalation, and then the cops actually come, Randy?
The cops actually come along, and they're from Hazard County.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, not really.
Oh, not literally, but yeah. Right. I thought there might have been, because it was a nod that they were like named after the cops from Adam 12.
They were.
So I thought that maybe they had like Hazard County on there.
That would have been awesome. That would have just made it better. But when he, so there was another, that was another moment where he saw two kids making out in a car. And if he had only seen one or made allusions that he just saw, you know, a naked girl in there or something, or a half naked girl, then I would have still bought into this theory that she was on her own and he was just a figment of her.
That is so interesting. That fixes that whole Keystone Cops problem.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I mean, I may be subscribing to this idea that all that stuff is just a bunch of hoax. And she's wearing a monocle. Is that supposed to add to the idea that she's
insane, possibly?
Because she only wears it to write in her diary, not when she's at school writing.
Yeah, not when she's doing anything else.
Have you guys actually worn a monocle?
No.
It's not very comfortable.
No,
it's unpleasant.
Dude, it's for people back in the day who had sight problems who didn't have good glasses technology. I mean, what are glasses? They're two monocles that sit on your nose and your ears. I mean, it's a stupid thing. If she had trouble writing, she would have worn glasses. She's like,
she obviously had trouble writing.
She has her own croquet course in her backyard.
Right? She just gets me in the mood for writing this monocle.
She has her rich parents and her croquet collection. Like, come on.
Now, I do like how fancy monocles, you can eject them from your eyeball. I do like that, because you just pop your eyes open and it goes flying off. And of course, if you're smart, you have the chain. I'd never had the chain. I just dropped it.
You had a monocle?
What?
Yeah, I still have a monocle. You don't have a monocle?
No, I don't have a monocle.
I bought a monocle when I was acting as Colonel Mustard for our Clue Halloween costumes.
All right, well, that makes sense.
Every time we play Monopoly, I put my monocle on.
I'm not sure I recognize the existence of monocles, much less have one.
Yeah, to me, that's some weird old, German scientist thing or something. I don't know who wears them. Nobody has those now, right? Except for costumes.
They do.
Who wears one now in 2015? Give me a name.
Doesn't have a monocle.
Nobody has a monocle.
Nobody wears a monocle. You think like some foreign leader. Like there'd be a foreign leader out there who wears a monocle. It would be great.
We will crush your civilization.
Right.
Somebody like that. This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Casper. We're excited to have them on the show. They are an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Don't go to any more warehouses or showrooms and lay on beds where some gross guy was there before and you didn't even know it. Eliminate that from your life. Their mattresses are obsessively engineered at a very fair price. You can try one easily. Buy it online, completely risk-free. You get 100 days. That's 100 days to try that mattress out. I did this. I liked it so much, I kept it. Get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin, $950 for a king-size mattress. If you compare that to industry averages, that's extremely inexpensive. You can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/filmsack and then enter the code filmsack. That's casper.com/filmsack and the code filmsack for $50 off. Thanks, Casper. And by audible.com. Oh man, I love audible.com. And I'm so stoked to hear that they're casting the new Dark Tower movie, or movies. I hope it's movies. And why am I stoked? Because I love the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. I think it's the best thing he ever did, and it's my favorite sort of fantasy-ish novel or set of novels ever. And the best part about those books is the audio versions are incredible. George Goodell, who you can start off by listening to the first book, The Gunslinger, does an amazing job. Incredible, incredible work. And I've talked about him on the show before, but I felt like it was worth bringing up again because we're getting close to actually seeing that thing being made into a film. So why not catch up now on what that series has to offer at audible.com. An amazing selection of books can be found at audible.com. And I want to give you a free 30 days trial. 30 days absolutely for free. It's real simple too. All you got to do is go to audible.com/filmsack. Real easy, real simple. audible.com/filmsack filmsock/filmsack, and start your free 30-day trial right now. One more time, that's audible.com/filmsack. All right, I think we should do clips. What do you guys say?
Yes.
All right, let's get to them. Here's some stupid line from the thing.
Such a pillowcase.
You're such a pillowcase. Again, something no one ever said ever.
I agree. Sure they did.
No one ever said it, Brian. Whoever called you a pillowcase.
That's the thing. The thing about this movie is it's got this pseudo language that it's not necessarily a reflection, but it is an imitation. So, I mean, you can hear that word and you can see that it has, you know, that it could exist.
No.
I do. I think it does. I think it makes sense. It's like, oh, I'm going to say pillowcase now because it makes... I'm going to use that word now. It's my new word.
I think Mean Girls actually got this right with the whole stop trying to make pillowcase a thing. It's never going to be a thing.
Right.
Like this is some dude living in Hollywood going over to, you know, talk to high schoolers, and he believed everything they said. It was
totally going to make this a real phrase.
So, kids, what do you call each other? Well, sometimes when I'm frustrated, I call him a real pillowcase. Yeah, that's real dumb. I also don't know what this phrase means.
I just slide that wad over to my father.
I think it's something with money.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. We'll leave that one right where it is.
That was part of the lunchtime polls. Got to love a lunchtime poll.
Yeah.
Can someone explain that
to
me?
Never a thing.
I spent that entire sequence wondering why are they asking everyone this dumb question and then not getting a good answer.
No, we never did get one. I don't understand the whole point of the surveys. What were they for? Were they a class thing?
Was it to distract from some other mischief?
Exactly. It was just it's a distraction. I mean, it's just participation without any value. I mean, that's basically what it is.
Popular kids always like to pull the other class, the other students.
Yeah,
it's totally a high school thing.
Yeah, remember how that was where the football kids and the cheerleaders would come around and ask all the nerds these questions? Right, it was fascinating time.
It really distracted me because of the actual question, and it's the only one we ever got.
Yeah.
Because the question was if everyone knew that the world was ending in a couple of days and you had a bunch of money, well, wait a minute, the money'd be useless.
Yeah. Right.
No one would accept the money.
Yeah.
No one
point.
Says that.
Yeah. But what's if it's the point, why? I mean, it's just why ask it? What are they getting out of that?
Yeah.
But why? I guess I understand the idea
everything
of asking
is,
a question.
Everything is pointless. That's the idea.
Okay.
Of nihilism. It's pointless.
Yeah. The movie's kind of pointless. Here's, I don't know what this is.
You go to the zoo and you get a lion, and then you put a remote control bomb up its butt, you push the button on the bomb, and you and the lion die like one.
Okay, that's basically.
Hey, at least that didn't have to do with spending the money.
You gotta buy a lion.
No, you just go to the zoo. Everybody's freaking out and running around, getting ready to die, so you go to the zoo. There's no one there. It's just you and the lion and a bomb.
Yeah, and you and the lion die as one. That's the idea. I kind of like this line.
Grow up, Heather. Bulimia is so 87.
Oh, geez. Bulimia is so 87.
Well, at least we're still saying something like that.
Yeah. Are we, though?
Yes.
I think it's still a problem. I mean, I don't know if it's popular like it was. I mean, there was a point in 87 where it was fashionable.
Right. No. I'm saying at least we're still phrasing things like that. That is a common joke phrase to say.
Yeah, we could say, oh, dude, Heroes of the Storm, that is so 2014. Like but you could hear people say that now. I agree with that. All right, who does he think? What? Here.
Who's that guy in the coat think he is anyways?
Bo Diddley?
Bo Diddley?
Yeah. Yeah. Teenager was real hip on Bo Diddley.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Who was like an old blues, you know, black blues guitarist, a rock and roll, early rock and roll blues guitarist. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the kids really were. You know, I remember in '88 that we could not stop talking about Bo Diddley. All right, I said a lot in high school.
Answer him, Dick.
That one's one. That's
okay. All right,
said that sometimes. Okay, what does this mean?
You blow it tonight, girl, and it's keggers with kids all next year.
Does that just mean you're with the nerds and you have to?
Yeah, you're an underclassman. You're with the underclassmen.
Okay.
Yeah, you're never going to get invited to another college party again.
And then she goes to a college party, and it's the worst thing ever.
It's an
awful college party. I would not want to be invited again.
Yeah, plus all the kids looked about your same age, so.
Except the guy hitting on her,
yeah,
who looked 50.
Yeah. That's right. I didn't like any of that scene. None of that scene made sense to me. Again, it's that weird dreamlike quality everything seemed to have. And I don't mean that in a good way. When I say quality, I don't mean like.
It did.
Condition. Dreamlike condition. There. How about that?
It did seem like a dream because it was totally exaggerated, even all the way down to the college guy inviting them in and then saying, put your coats on the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just really weird. Right? And they just dropped their coats right on the floor.
Right.
Well, and the dude is with one of the Heathers, and he insists that she go down on him, and she does. And then the very, like, a minute later, he's trying to get Veronica to do the same thing. I'm like, dude.
Different guy.
Refractory period.
That was a different guy. Wasn't it a different guy?
It was a different guy. Yeah, that was a different guy.
Yeah, that was the friend. Yeah, that was the friend.
It was the friend.
They were virtually identical. Yeah. And they both believe strongly that when you come into a party, your coat should go on the floor immediately.
I hate this movie.
Yeah, the movie kind of sucks. All right. I got some exclusive audio. This is a response from Brian Ibbett's prom date back in around this time when he asked her to make out with him. And this is what she said.
No, but if you're nice, I'll let you buy me a slushie.
All right. Great.
Thank you. Thank you for playing that clip and not any of the other horrible ones that would have been the response.
Wow. Yeah.
Lick it up, bitch.
Lick it up.
I wanted to give you some clarity.
A little respite.
Yeah. Here's some good Slater talking, about 10 seconds of it.
There's always been a snappy snack shack.
That's
any town, any time. You pop a ham and cheese in the microwave and feast on a turbo dog.
Ugh.
Feast on a turbo dog.
By the way, an adult wrote all these lines.
Yeah. Can you tell?
Teenagers don't talk like this. He was very tight. He was at his tiger beatiest tiger beat time.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Big time. All right. Here's.
I still don't understand what in the world he was talking about.
Greetings and salutations.
Johnny's home. Oh, no. Here's Johnny. Sorry, I even got the line wrong.
Johnny's home. Did you guys remember a movie he was in where the camera rotated around him asking questions of Kevin Bacon for a long time?
Around Nicholson or Slater?
Slater. It was like a camera rotating around the room, and it was famous for that, sort of. And and Kevin Bacon was in a chair.
It was Murder on the First.
Is that what that's called?
That's a movie right there that, again, great performance by Christian Slater. Great performance by Kevin Bacon in that one, too. Yeah. Kevin Bacon is this this kid accused of murder. He's mentally challenged.
Yeah.
And...
Dunaway.
And Christian Slater has to defend him in court. Really, really good. Really good film.
I want to see that. I never did.
Is this a film or the TV
it's a film.
Series?
It's a movie.
No, it was a film.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's back, it's back I want to say late 94.
Yeah. Mid late 90s, something like that.
Yeah.
Now
after Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah.
Having admitted my problem with assuming titles like Heathers, Murder in the First is not about a group of crows on the first street in town or something.
No, it is not.
No.
Main Street. Oh, yeah. Also, Gary Oldman. Yeah. I forgot about how good this movie was.
I want to see it. I've always meant to see it.
William Macy, really early William Macy role. Kira Sedgwick, I think this is the movie, I think, where she meets.
Oh, where they met and got
Kevin Bacon.
Up. Yeah. Right. Wait, I love me some. Who'd you say right before her?
William H. Macy.
Oh, I love William him. I love him. What the heck do you mean? The heck do you mean?
I am cooperating.
Marge.
Every now and then, I got to watch The Cooler just because of him.
Oh, I still haven't seen The Cooler. I've heard nothing but great things about The Cooler.
I watch it because of what's her face, the woman on there, very good actress and very attractive.
Can't think of her name.
Yeah, well, she was on ER for a while.
Yeah.
It's my problem is too much of my history is bound up on Fremont Street in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And a movie like that is just, it just speaks to me.
I need
Maria Bello.
I like Maria Bello.
Yeah.
She's great. All right, save the something. What is this? Here.
Save the speeches for Malcolm X. I just want to get laid.
I like when he plays the drums on his body.
Yep.
A great example in that clip, too, of the shitty soundtrack to this thing that felt so
Newman did this, though, didn't
keyboard.
He?
Hated it. Brian Dunaway, I think you have a weird nostalgia for this movie. I think
it's totally not weird.
Not weird, but this is what I mean. The music is... Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like how I like the music in Teen Wolf.
But that music's actually good.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's good, though. Better than this.
Nostalgic.
This is just noise that's tinny and synthy and I don't know.
Well, this is what David Newman was doing back then.
Yeah.
He was making this kind of Casio keyboard. Yeah. Junk music.
I know, and I know it all can't be orchestrated, but man, this stuff was, this was rough to hear.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have wanted a better score. I just know that it sucked.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But you're not sure if you would have wanted
and
a better
I'm,
one.
And I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, because it puts it right there, like all the other films from that time.
Yeah, it definitely has that vibe to it. Like the she's having a baby movie. Mm-hmm. This music reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. The discordant, sad,
tinny keyboard.
Yeah,
that was over trebly.
Here's the worst thing to happen in Heathers, and I say it with all confidence that this is the worst thing that happened, at least auditorially. Okay, so speaking of things you hear, this is the worst thing I heard in this movie. Here you go. I hated that so much.
I already told you.
Trying to hawk a loogie. Couldn't do it. Yeah. I already told you
that it really ruined the film for me.
Oh, I thought you said gagging sounds when she was going to gag.
Same stuff. The movie's full of this stuff.
Yeah, by the way, that audio clip could have been taken at the movie theater Friday night where Tina and I went and saw Spectre. The guy behind me.
Did the movie get retitled to Expectorate? Was that the new name?
Expector is what that movie should have been called.
That's you have the worst luck with people in movie
really
theaters.
Really do, man. Oh.
That's bad. I don't know, man. I'm tying up with you because I went to go see, I guess it was about a month ago. I went to go see, what was it? Serpico? What was it? That wasn't it.
Serpico.
What the crap was it? That new.
Are you a time traveler? I
knew
it.
I'm a time traveler. Anyway, I went to go see a sneak peek of a movie.
Afternoon.
And there was a guy who was sitting next to me, and apparently he thought it's cool that he could smoke his e-cig while sitting right next to me.
Right in your face.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, and it's like, it was, I know, I get it. People are going, yeah, but it's not like real smoke. It's not like real thick and smoke. It's the smoke. I'm like, shut up, man, because you're sitting here and you're puffing it. First of all, I can hear it going, making that noise, which is annoying as crap. And on top of that, he had one of those that lights up as he sucks in. So it's like this blue light that just glows in my eyes.
See, I am totally cool with somebody with an alternative to smoking for those who can't quit smoking. I think that's awesome for them, but I do not think it gives people license to walk into any public place and start blowing that shit in my face.
Yeah, especially the shit that smells like cotton candy or...
Yeah. Right? Or the ones that are like basically like blowing on a big robot. You're like just like the big... It's making all these crazy sounds and stuff, and it's like, no, I get it that it's a good alternative. I'm stoked for you, and as a secondhand experience, I doubt this is going to give me any trouble here, but I don't need to be grooving on stuff that's just been in your guts.
Wow, thank you, Scott.
It's in your chest, man. I don't need it in my chest. I mean, I know we're all breathing the same air, but let's not make it worse than it already is. All right, how about this? Thank you. This is how you know you can't. This is how you know you can't use a brand name in a movie. Okay? When you hear a line like this.
It is one thing to want somebody out of your life. It is another thing to serve them a wake-up cup full of liquid drainer.
Liquid drainer.
Liquid drainer.
Liquid drainer.
I liked that.
Would you like a facial tissue?
No, that would be like calling it Kleenex or
right?
Kleenoix.
Kleenex. You want some Kleenex? Kleenex.
An alternative would be to drink a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, a Coca-Cola. Or a Coca-Cola.
Diet Coke heads.
Diet cock heads. Is that what you just
Diet
said?
Diet Coke heads.
Oh, Coke heads. He said cock heads.
Not giant cock heads. What?
Here's a Christmas tree.
Come on, Paul. If I let these kids out before lunch, the switchboard would light up like a Christmas tree.
What's the switchboard? I don't get it.
That's the
switchboard at school?
The desk, the secretary's desk.
Oh, because the parents would all call or something?
Exactly. But then they...
heard that like on TV, like when they're in a TV studio and something goes crazy on live television. Oh my God, the switchboard's lighting up like a Christmas tree.
So that's what they're... So that's what
all
they
the
mean.
All the hold buttons, all the different lines coming in, lighting up.
I've forgotten that's how phones used to work.
And you know what was interesting? What was interesting to me is they argued about that because it really put the role of a Heather in perspective and how important they really are in school, because the jocks got a full day, not even a question.
Right.
Oh yeah.
But the Heathers couldn't even take a half day.
Mm-mm. Right.
No, the Heathers. Wow. Well, nice catch on that.
Poignant.
Here's a good, this is something you want to know about the Glenn Miller Band, by the way. Here you go.
All because Glenn Miller and his band once took a shit there.
I like that.
Oh.
I like that a lot.
That's actually why we have the Glenn Miller Ballroom up at the Boulder campus at University of Colorado in Boulder. Yeah.
All because Glenn Miller and his band took, his a, band shit
took
there.
A shit there.
Right. I just imagine a whole band doing that. Simultaneously,
just
you
right
think,
there.
You think vaping smells bad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, somebody
you
taking
go in the bathroom after Glenn Miller and his band. His band.
Someone taking an e-dump next to you.
What? It's electronic.
Electronic. We never even brought dump. Up the fact that there's a petition montage.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We did. You know what? Let's give it a little, montage love.
I guess there's also a eulogy montage, too, where that's a really bad idea to do a eulogy montage when the person in the casket is being played by a real person as opposed to like a fake model of that person, because as they cut from person to person, you see that person's head move positions. And
yeah, just ever so slightly, their hair is moved or their right, hands exactly. in a different place. I noticed that too. That's pretty funny. All right, here's this line that Brian brought up earlier.
The answers can be found in the MTV video games.
What does that even mean? So they're talking about the original Guitar Hero, or no, the original
Rock
Band.
Yeah, they didn't know. Band. No, it was a disconnect that the parents didn't understand.
Okay, I get it, but I'm just trying to think of all the horrible published MTV video games, because there were some.
Right.
And this was all like a decade later, but I remember they had, the first Rock Band was an MTV game, by the way. You guys remember that? It was totally MTV published, that game. Mm-hmm. They quickly didn't do that anymore.
I follow a parody Twitter feed that's something like Cool Youth Pastor. And it's really funny.
Really?
Because Cool Youth Pastor is always trying to say things that are hip.
Yeah.
And he doesn't quite get it right.
Yeah. Those are the best. Also another phrase I never heard once.
That pudwhapper just stepped on my foot.
That pudwhapper.
Oh.
Say it. Play it again.
Pudwhacker.
Pudwhapper, he said.
Yeah. That pudwhapper just stepped on my foot.
I swear he says whapper.
That pudwhapper just.
He says whapper, man.
Man.
Pudwhacker, I've heard.
Whacker, yeah.
I think he just screwed it up. Maybe they screwed up.
It.
Maybe they screwed up a liquid who drainer.
It? Who whaps your pud anyway?
The warlords of liquid drainer is what they got there. Oh, all right, how about here's some beer.
If you don't have a brewski in your hand, you might as well be wearing a dress.
Do you remember saying brewski in high school?
Brewski, not in
we
high
made
school.
Fun. We made fun of people who said brewski, but we never.
That was a word I heard in movies a lot.
Yeah,
lot.
But brewski was like from the 50s or something.
Yeah.
It's still said by older people today.
Yeah, yeah. Today it's like, throw
hey,
me
Phil
a brewski.
Want a brewski?
Yeah.
Can I interest you in a brewski?
The guy's always named Phil.
Yeah.
All right, here's the cops.
Hey, I heard it that time.
What?
Another gunshot from the woods.
Oh, shit. Let's roll.
Let's roll.
I kind of like them.
I truly believe there was no director in the film. In that scene, I don't believe they were being directed. I believe they were just sent off to make the scene.
You just think he said, roll cam, and he just walked away.
I kind of like it. Yeah. I kind of like those guys. All right, here's some arguing. Some angry acting arguing here.
Oh. Did not!
Did too!
Did not! Sir, shut up! I didn't know what the...
come on, you
Mary
did! You're just
little
not...
Little lab!
I know
lab.
What you...
Jeez.
Oh, my God. That could be the most annoying part of the film.
Yep.
Angry acting sucks.
But imagine if she's... But now think of her in a car by herself, yelling at herself.
Yeah, much better,
it's
right?
A little
totally
better.
Is.
It's a little better.
I'll tell you, man, something our kids will never understand, and that's the pain of accidentally grabbing a car cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
God, that is some pain.
Okay. I get caught up wondering about other things in the movie, and so I miss what's going on. Why did she have to have her hand burned?
She has psychological. No. I mean, yeah. I think it's just to feel something.
Because she was by herself.
She's basically a cutter.
She was by herself. There wasn't really a dude in the car with her. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, and it all starts to make more sense.
Thank you very much.
Here's perverse tennis rackets. This is gross.
Sexually perverse photography exhibits involving tennis rackets.
Just imagine what that must be.
So glad. I was hoping when I heard that line, I was hoping you captured it.
Well, how about this one? I'm glad I got this one.
Judge told him to slurp shit and die.
I was hoping you got that one. That was one I was hoping for. Can you slurp my butt and slurp shit and die at the same? Can you do those?
Well, the guy did write Hudson Hawk, so
he did, and same director too. So yeah,
yeah.
Oh, good there times. You go.
Here's one of my great goals in life.
I put a Norwegian in the boiler room.
That's another thing I like. That guy's
a
great.
That's kind of a bomb.
That dad was great.
He was bona fide evil. Yeah. He was scary.
Yeah.
Here's your Nicholson sounding business.
Moby Dick is dunked. The white whale drank some bad plankton and splashed through a coffee table, and now it's your turn to take the helm.
Yeah, he's channeling the whole thing.
Little thing, Christian.
Yeah, it's a little weird. All right, I don't know what this is.
I don't patronize bunny rabbits.
That's also a good one.
That made me laugh, though. I did laugh out loud.
That's right.
And this guy almost gets the line right.
Just remember, you know, if it wasn't for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost, and you are too.
And you are too. What are you adding that on there for?
The minnow would be lost.
And you are too.
I don't even remember. What was that line from?
He's the radio guy, some DJ guy.
Oh, right. The love line. Yes. Yeah.
And just to add the "and you are too" at the end made me want to jump to the screen.
The hot chat or whatever they call it.
Here's something also girls never said to each other. Never. But here it is anyway.
Veronica, why are you pulling my dick?
Because you don't say that.
I've actually heard girls say that.
No, you haven't. No girl has ever said it.
This movie was written by the whitest dude by himself in a room all alone.
Brian Dunaway, tell me you've actually heard a girl say to another girl,
I've heard girls say that. I've even heard girls say, suck my D. I've heard lots of things. Sure. I've been to Myrtle Beach.
All right.
That's apparently the hubbub of teenage girl
bad slang. Angst.
Sure.
Yeah.
Apparently that was really hard for what's her name to say because she was raised very conservatively and all the language in the movie really kind of freaked her out.
Yeah, she seemed to kind of put all that stuff aside when she posed naked for Playboy like 4 years later.
Yeah, that seemed to be fine. To be fine then.
It's not really an issue later.
Interrupted her.
Hey, can I ask you a question? I never saw any of that, but this is not, listen. I have a weird face. I just want to throw that out there.
Yes, one of her boobs is higher than the other.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. That was it. Here's someone getting hit in the gut. I just did that for why? I don't know why. Eskimo something?
Eskimo.
Oh, yeah. All right, and then my favorite thing the preacher said.
Let's just hope she's rubbing noses with Jesus.
I love that.
Like an Eskimo.
That guy's great.
He is great.
So he just fell down and died?
Yeah,
but you know, if you drink a lot of alcohol and your blood is thin and you fall down,
is that what's happening?
That's actually how my grandpa died. He was he had almost burnt himself up in a bed and with a cigarette, and he was an alcoholic for many years, and he fell off a ladder while painting the house.
Yeah,
and had just brain bled out
because his blood was so thin.
Exactly, yeah. Just couldn't coagulate.
Yep. So why? But we don't know that about this actor guy, do we?
I don't know that, but I assume that because it happened to my family. So I'm just assuming. I assume everybody's an alcoholic.
I assume he was a dirty alcoholic who had really thin blood and fell down and died. Got it. What's this?
I'd like that.
Oh, it's a girl on the scooter. All right. There you go.
Oh, Martha Dump Truck. Her only line, basically.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
That was it. And it's pretty much
uncomfortable, too. I'd like that.
It's one of her only. It's one of her only films, too. She wasn't in much. Then there was this one.
Good dog, poor day.
Just kidding. That's an older movie.
That's funny.
Speaking of movies that don't hold up, according to Randy. All right. What's the deal we're doing now? Oh, I know. How about this right here? It is the Film Sack Checklist. Overly pretentious plot about nothing. Check. Tiger beat Kristen Slater. Check. The gun is huge. Check. Everyone had a huge gun. Man.
That was a really... Like, that was one of those where they're like, we have a really large gun. Let's also make sure that it's in the camera lens. Like, we push it all the way into the camera.
Yeah. It's like, it was like a Dirty Harry gun is what that thing was.
Right.
Yeah.
44 Magnum?
Ichluger bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trek stuff, we would give, there's two major connections, actually the only two connections. Winona Ryder played Veronica in this in 2009. She played Spock's mother, Amanda Grayson, fell off of the edge of a cliff and died.
With the stupidest look on her face, like,
It was weird. And then Christian Slater, he was JD in this, in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. He was the Excelsior's communications officer. And he was also born Christian Michael Leonard Hawkins. So we got Leonard in the name, and then, Hawkins, I guess you can make something there. But anyway.
I wish Glenn Shaddix had been in Star Trek.
Right? That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this specifically in that movie. You got to see Sulu on the Excelsior as the captain saying, I'll come meet you guys wherever. And then they showed this communications officer, and it was Christian Slater. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, oh, that's cool. And he was on for like, I mean, he's on screen for like, I don't know, 30 seconds or something.
I watched Nemesis last night, and I had forgotten what they did. Spoiler.
What, the B4 stuff?
No, at the very end.
Yeah, with Data and B4 and
with
all
Data,
that.
Data.
Yeah, it sucks. That part sucks of that movie. The rest of it's great, though.
Now I'm trying to go back and watch all the Next Generation. Every time I look at it, I'm like, well, doesn't matter what you learn here, Data. You're dead.
Well, they're going to, but they take his chip and put him in the B4 is the idea, right?
Yeah, well, they download his memories to the B4, but he's just a simpleton. I didn't like it. It made me mad.
No, that's that's the worst part of that movie. The rest of it is pretty great.
It's a great movie.
But the
it's
B story, the B story sucks. There's no question about it.
I forgot about that too.
Yeah, it's not good. Soundtrack great. I'd give it an SAH for synth as hell. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys get to sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Heathers. Apparently, the guy who wrote The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, Hudson Hawk, Batman Returns, and Demolition Man also wrote a bad movie.
Mm-hmm. Real bad. Brian Dunaway.
Brian. Heathers, like a lunchtime poll about tater tots. Shut up and let me eat my tater tots, Heather.
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
I'm not going to use my 140 characters very much at all. Heathers, this movie is not very.
Oh,
that was good. That was very Heather.
You nailed it. I think you nailed it.
Again, like 30 years from now, someone's going to be saying, no one ever said, I literally can't even. No one ever said that.
All right.
By the way, I just quickly loaded the film and ran forward to a shot of JD holding a gun. That is a Colt 357 Magnum.
Yeah, it's a beast.
I did not mean to call it
way
a
to circumvent
44 Magnum.
Right. Way to circumvent the angry gun emails.
Yep.
Yep. That is
good job on that.
Quite a gun.
Yeah. It's, that thing's got a kick. Seems like you should be able to get into a school with that.
It does. Especially in this shot of Winona Ryder holding it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's as big as her.
Yeah. She's carrying around a giant robot. It's huge.
Did you guys ever wear trench coats when you were in high school?
No, never. Not once.
I had a trench coat, and I love trench coats.
So, again, Columbine ruined it. Mm-hmm. But I remember a time thinking, wow, that's really cool.
Really? I never thought trench coats were cool.
I had several trench coats. They were that blue jean material, dark blue.
They looked terrible.
Denim
trench coat?
There were two things you always saw in movies. You always saw gangsters and cowboys wearing long coats.
Yeah.
And it looked cool.
Well, cowboys, yes. kid in high school with jeans and a t-shirt on underneath, not cool.
All right.
Stupid looking. Like if they were dressed like cowboys, I could buy it because it's part of an ensemble of like big, thick, rumply, you know, it's a whole thing. You got chaps on under there and you got, you know, guns off the side.
You got the assless chaps on.
Yeah,
right,
you got all that stuff.
Then...
the assless chaps, exactly. Oh, look at this. Alternate titles. They almost went with these. Are there any non-robot adults in this world? That was option number one. And two, cult classic for who again? all right, we have phone calls. I'm going to play them. One's a recommendation, and let's hear it now.
Just got to say that I love your guys' show. I always listen to it, and you guys do a fantastic job with that show. Love it. You'll probably get a lot of recommendations for movies that you should sack. But I think I have the best choice what movie you could sack in October of 2015. Just so you can remember, Back to the Future Part 2, Marty and Doc go forward in time from 1985 to October 21st, 2015. How awesome would it be for you guys to sack that film in October 2015 and try to point out
things
from the movie that we should have right now in 2015 that we don't? You know, things like that. So it would be a great anniversary of a great movie from the 80s that took place this year, this month, and you guys could sack it. Hey, just an idea. Keep up the great work, and I'm looking forward to your next show. Okay. Thanks, guys.
I really appreciate this. However, having lived through what I now think of as Back to the Future Week, no, I'm glad we didn't.
That's why I played the call. Because I want it to be very clear that would have kind of sucked And not because it's not a bad, it's a great idea.
It's a good idea, yeah.
But we were so inundated, man.
Yeah, there was so much Back to the Future happening that it turned me off from Back to the Future for a little bit.
I
know,
I couldn't even listen to Huey Lewis music for a while.
And it was like the week after Star Wars week because an advertisement came out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, no.
It's bad. So it's I had your call and actually had it then, but then
we
held it.
That bullet like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix.
But I wanted to also play the call for another reason, which is I like themed ideas generally are pretty cool. So I wanted to encourage people, if you've got ideas like that where you're like, hey, you may not know this, but I don't know, Void Walker 2 or whatever the dumb movie is coming out, and that happened to feature so-and-so who just died last month. That'd be a great one. I mean, like, we like these ideas. Mm-hmm. That one was just so mainstream and so... We're not trying to be hipsters or anything, but it just was, like, too much. I already don't like Back to the Future 2. I know I'm, like, on a list of people who others hate for that, but I always thought it was kind of a bad film, and everyone's hype over it just made me angrier, so I didn't want to ruin my life. Here's a call from somebody. We talked about Ritalin or for some reason on a previous episode. I don't remember the context.
Probably in reference to Randy.
Maybe. I think it was kids in a movie or something, or somebody, some kid reference in a film or something. I don't remember. But anyway, we got this call from somebody who I'm going to try to take seriously. Here you go.
Hey, Scott, bro. I'm listening to... Film Sack 157, yeah, about the island, you know, somebody said that Ritalin was a depressant, man, and it's not, bro. Ritalin will jack you up, bro. It's kind of it's like Adderall, bro. Speed you up real good. You know what I'm saying? So, love the show, bro. Yeah.
Love the show, bro.
Good that we could, that Matthew McConaughey could take some time out to.
He's very busy. They're considering for the role in Dark Tower. I mean, he's got a lot going on. And took his time to call us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. I'll go play some bongos.
I think we need to do Lincoln Lawyer 2.
I did some checking.
Sponsored by Lincoln.
I did some checking, and indeed, according to my, I have a pharmacist friend who tells me about all this stuff. Knows this stuff up and down.
Called Google.
His name is Dan.
Dan Tabletop Man.
Yeah, Dan the Tabletop Man. And he says that Ritalin is indeed a stimulant. It is it's not the same as like hyping yourself up on Coke or, you know, on speed or something, but it's not that far afield. So we still say that it's not a depressant, despite the wonderful call. If you'd like to leave a call like that or anything else, you certainly can. 801-471-0462. You can also email us filmsack@gmail.com. Now, our next film, I think, is Badass 2, is it not?
Badass 2, Badasses.
Badasses. It's
Danny Glover.
Trejo and Glover, the two Dannys. Mm-hmm. Together at last. How much of the fact that they both go by Danny do you think was a factor in them getting together?
I think it's everything. The entire point of it.
Oh, really?
Should have been Danny's.
So they could have maybe gotten Danny Bonaducci, or they might for Badass 3?
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Well, yes. There's already a Badass 3, right? Isn't that out?
Hold yes. On.
Bad. Oh, gosh. Really? Coming. Okay.
I get it confused with Sharknado.
Yeah. Because they put them out at kind of the same rate. Here it is. Badass 3, Badasses on the Bayou, it's called. And that one has... Danny Glover, Danny Trejo, and John Amos.
Mm.
Who's John Amos? Is that a wrestler John's or something?
I don't know.
Or, it's definitely an or something. So looking forward, I just love our upcoming Film Sack list. We're going to watch the very first Rambo, First Blood.
Yeah.
We're going to all visit our childhood and find out whether or not the Hulk Hogan movie No Holds Barred was actually something.
Okay.
Never saw it.
We need to finally, because we have the DVDs for that, don't we, or something? Somebody sent us that. Am I thinking of something else? Oh, no, Dills recommended this. He had said to me somewhere when we were recently talking that you guys need to watch No Holds Barred. It's fan-freaking-tastic.
And most importantly, assuming it stays on Netflix streaming, we are finally going to watch, and I mean the week of Star Wars, we're going to watch Wing Commander.
Oh perfect. Lord.
Nice.
That's fantastic, man.
That's great. One quick thing, though, about Badass, and we forgot to mention this, is that a rare situation where you can actually hear Film Sack being recorded live, because we're going to be doing that as part of the cover-thon.
That's right.
Friday the 27th.
Right. So. For all you folks at home, it'll be essentially the same experience, you know, that we usually do. But we're going to do it live. We never do these live except for, for Nerdtacular. So this is a great thing. I'm very excited about that.
So watch it before Friday and then join us Friday morning at, I think we're saying 11 o'clock Mountain Time as part of the Coverville Coverthon, raising money for Alzheimer's research.
Yep.
And should be great.
Yeah, should be really good. There's no Winston's that day, by the way. We're taking it off for Black Friday and spending it with each other for film
sites. Nice.
Yeah. So watch for that.
I will be getting up bright and early for the Coverthon.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Randy.
Well, it's always a good time. We hear a lot of great covers. And for the first time ever, Film Sack Live.
That's right.
We kind of did a Film Sack Live.
We did a roundtable last year. Yeah, it wasn't. We didn't actually do a specific movie, but we did.
I was referring to Nerdtacular.
That's not really the first time ever.
Film Sack.
No, we've done. We mentioned that, but we've done like how many of those now? We've done four of those, five of those,
four or five. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, but this will be like, you know, all of us in our comfy little Skype chairs, which will be nice.
Standing.
Yeah, we're standing like Brian is right now. Are you standing right now, Brian?
I'm standing right now.
All righty.
Keeping weight off the coccyx.
Ah, that's good.
Yes. Wow, that was some Skype delay that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah. Keeping the weight off the coccyx.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
I don't think it didn't happen on my end. It only happened on Brian's end. Dang it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Didn't record it.
Did it happen on Randy's end?
I could edit it.
No.
Make it happen.
I didn't get a delay.
Yeah, I didn't get
a
delay.
I want
either.
The delay.
I think it was done away delay. It was delay away is what happened there.
Ah.
Pretty good. All right, that's it. Badass 2 next week. Be here 10 a.m. Mountain. Is that right? 10 a.m. Mountain. No, I'm sorry. 11 a.m. Mountain.
11 a.m. Mountain. Yes.
So it's not so early for me.
So okay. Friday. Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. Filmsack.com is the website. Our voicemail line, again, is 801-471-0462. Emails come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us at Filmsack. And if you would be so kind to leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, that would be lovely. It's going to do it for us, for me, for the Bryans, and for Randy.
Yep.
We'll see you next time. Oh, gosh. Oh, I was afraid of
that. Barbecue, we're playing.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. I can't believe he said barbecue or plane. I forgot about that scene.
Yeah. Barbecue.
I didn't even know about corn nuts until I saw this movie.
Dude, girls, there's another thing. Girls don't eat corn nuts because it gives you the worst foot breath of all time.
Corn nuts.